All right. Good morning. Good morning. We are in our second week of our series called Checkup, and I am excited about the series because I believe God wants you to be healthy emotionally. He wants you to be healthy spiritually because really a healthy life is a testimony of who God is. Just like Eric said in so many words, God does not want you to grow gross. And so in our life, sometimes those things end up springing up. And if we're not careful, they can take up root in our life, and they can cause us to go in a direction that God doesn't want us to go. And so having a checkup series and really checking in on us is essential because God wants us to continually stay in health. And so in your life, first and foremost, we know that Jesus is the center. He's the source. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second, love your neighbor as yourself. That's how it works. That's how God set it up. You can't do it the other way. It doesn't work. And so we've got to understand, first of all, that we have to do it God's way. If you want to be healthy, it has to be done God's way. You don't go to the doctor and tell him what to do. The doctor tells you, hey, listen, this is what you should do. You can argue, but basically, if you want to live and be healthy, you're going to follow his directions. And so sometimes there's pushback, but we know in the end that God has our best interests in mind. He does. That's just who he is. And so addressing our shadow is important because it helps us to see some of those things in our past that have really grown up and taken hold of our life and caused us really to look at God the wrong way. And as a result, we don't live the right way. We don't live with purpose. We don't live with excitement. And the zeal that God has called us to live with honestly dies out because it really, instead of living according to the Spirit of God and the way God wants us to live, we live according to what was in our life. And so let's look at this definition again of our shadow. And our shadow is the accumulation of untamed emotions, less than pure motives and thoughts that, while largely unconscious, strongly influence and shape your behaviors. You know, right now in your life, there are things that are influencing how you behave right now. And have you ever said to yourself, I don't know where that came from, or I don't know why I do that? It's because something happened, or you're being influenced by something in your life. And a lot of times it's because there's a door that's been opened in your life from your past that has not been shut. And stuff begins to get in and has an influence on our life and begins to cause us to walk in a way that is crooked. And so if we're not careful, that crookedness will prevail in our life. And instead of walking in the promised land, we end up walking in the wilderness for years and years and years, never possessing what God has called us to possess, all because we could not get a handle on this shadow of our life. And so my question to you today is this: what are those things in your life that are coming up right now, untamed emotions, things that God is revealing to you that God said, hey, listen, I want to deal with this because this is actually causing you more harm than good. One of the exciting things about worship, and especially today in worship, is that God is able to bring freedom during a worship service because there's an anointing that rests upon worship. And so when worship comes in, and then when the Spirit of the Lord leads you to do something, it is there and he's doing it for a reason, because that is the time, just like in the New Testament, when the water was stirred for the people to get in and get healed. And so you and yourself can withdraw because of fear of what it might look like or what might happen, or you could actually step into what's happening, step into the water and get healed. Don't allow a moment to go by you staying in the same spot and position where you had an opportunity to get a breakthrough. That's why what we do here is important, because worship plows the way for the rest of the message. And so if you miss what happens in worship, sometimes you can miss what happens in the Word, because your heart is still hard, because you are still walking in bitterness and anger from what happened last week. Or some of you are still walking in bitter and angerness from what happened in your life that God is trying to deal with. And so when we say something like, hey, listen, God is asking you to give everything today, because by you doing that, God wants to come in and bring breakthrough in your life. You know, if you give it, God will give it back. If you hold, God's going to hold. See, there's a deal. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you give the same measure that you give, and if you give, it'll come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But if you're not giving all of you to God, what makes you think that you're going to get the things that you need in your life? Totally. See, some of us want, I want total breakthrough, but you're only giving God half yourself. And so if you give God half yourself, how do you expect God to give you everything that God wants to give you? Because God is saying, listen, if I'm not worth you giving your life to me, then listen, then we're not going to be able to do this thing. I'll bless you, but it won't be to the degree that you could have in your life. Because it'll always be about you and not about me. So if I gave up my life to you, listen, the least that you can do is give your life back up to me. And so when I'm in a worship setting like this and God is saying, listen, it's time for people to break through and to step up and to give all, it's there for a reason, because God is doing it not only in my life, but in a sense, he wants to do it in your life, because if you give it, God will give it back. And so what are you not giving to him? I don't see it, Lord. Well, dot, 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 fill in the blank. What is it? And sometimes we think, and God is funny like this, because sometimes we think we can get away with stuff like that. Like, you never had a teacher before who was like, listen, you are not giving your best effort. I can tell you're not giving your best effort. You're not taking the time to put in the work to do what you need to do to get your best grade. And I can tell. And God knows. And God is so good that God knows when you're holding back and you're not giving your best. And so God will come in and gently remind you and prod you to say, listen, I need more of you in this process. Because the more you're invested in this process, the more and the better results you're going to see. That's just how it works. I wore a shirt today that said, put in the work before we were setting up. Because as you put forth the effort, guess what happens? Results happen in your life. That's just the way it goes. And God is not looking for you to get it perfect. God is just looking for your heart to posture and to turn toward him. And God is so good that if you just show a little bit of faith, God begins to respond and move in. That's just how it is. And so as we continue to move in with him, he continues to move in with us. That's why the goodness of God is so good, because it causes us to see, in the state that I am right now, if God's blessing me like this, what could it be like in my life if I just gave it all to him and all of a sudden God began to do things in my life? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how God wants us to live, out of the outflow. Not having to dig down and say, where is it? It's just there. It just comes out. So when you're talking to people, it just comes out. Faith just comes out. This confidence just comes out. Just because who Jesus is, the radiance of Jesus just comes out. Because you've been spending time with him and God's been pouring in with you. But it's two ways. It's two ways. So if God is showing you things and saying, listen, come on this journey with me, it's for a reason. That's why we're doing this series. That's why we do what we do. We do it because we want all of God and all of what God has for us, not just halfway. You cannot tell me in here that you will be satisfied looking back over your life and saying, I could have had that, but I settled for this. All along the way that God is trying to break you free from bondage because he has a plan and a purpose for you, isn't that what he was doing with Israel, trying to get them out of Egypt and setting them free so that he can walk with them as their God and that he could be their God and they could be his people and so that he could bless them and bring them into wealth and prosperity so that they can really see what a son and daughter of a king look like? You do know that, right? That you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, but God also wants to give you blessing here. But he has to get inside here first before it can happen. Because if we're not careful, God can get displaced. And so God wants to make sure that I am first. And so when he's first, then all those other things are able to get added unto us because God knows, listen, I can trust him. And so God wants to bless you. And so if he's doing things in your life to rearrange and make sure things are first, it's there for a reason. There is so much that God has stored up for you. He's just waiting on you to get in the place where you need to be. And so last week, face your shadow. First week, what is it in your life that's just creeping up on you and just staying on your shoulder? And God's just saying, listen, just slap that thing off, man. Every time it comes off and on, just listen, in the name of Jesus, go. That's just who he is. You know, there are people in your life that God will send into your life to help you deal with this thing. People that you don't think. Because God wants you to be free of it. Because God sees the other version of you. On the other side, you see you now, God sees you in victory. And so he goes to great lengths to get you to the point so that you can be free. Not just free, but free indeed. Free. Really walking in what God is, not walking in fear. Listen, I'm talking about free. There is a freedom that is awaiting you if you will allow God to work in you this process in your life. A freedom that, I'm telling you, some of you think that, well, I've just been walking good. I've been walking in freedom. You don't even know what freedom looks like. There are things that God wants to bring up and help you deal with so that you can really be free and really be a son or daughter and really flourish and really rest in the fact of who you are and really begin to possess the promises. There are things that God has put inside of you that he wants to come out and blossom, but there's so many other things that are in there that are caught around that thing that God wants to deal with. And because you don't see yourself as a son or a daughter, you see yourself in bondage as a pauper, as a slave still. And God said, listen, you are no longer a slave to fear. There's no fear in love. Perfect love has cast out fear. And so what I'm doing is I'm trying to blanket you with my love so that you understand that there is no room for fear in me, because there's no fear in me. So there's no room for fear in our relationship. And so I'm going to continue to press in on you and on this issue so that you understand that I love you no matter what, and that I want you to be free from it, and I want you to know my unconditional love, and I want you to walk in confidence in who I am, that if I promise you something, that I'm actually going to give it to you, and I actually want to see you. Get up, Sharon. I actually want to see you twirl around, and I actually want to see you dance, and I actually want to see you. That stuff. Not the stuff that's like, I don't know if I'll do it. And you know what I'm talking about. One of the things we talk about in the fitness world, and that's just the way it works. We work in the fitness world. It's correlation. You just have to just go with it. So one of the things we talk about in the fitness world is this, is that they talk about rounded shoulders, and they talk about people slumping over like this. It's horrible for the posture, because what it does is that it does not cause you to engage your core self and who you are. And it shows just how weak you actually are in that section, where in reality, you need those muscles in order to be able to handle the workouts and the load that people are trying to put you through. I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on. Now, listen, seriously. People do the same thing as Christians. They walk with their shoulders like this. They walk in fear, not knowing if God's going to do it. And they're intimidated, and they don't know what to do. And all along the way, there's no protection for themselves here in the way they need to be. They're not strong in their core where they really need to be, and they are open season for the enemy, and they allow the enemy to come in and just beat on them. And because they don't know who they are, they don't know where they've come from and what God has really blessed them with, and they don't know who they are in God, they just take the beating, man. And so God's trying to get in and say, listen, let's work on the core here. And so let's work on these things in our life. Let's work on being emotionally healthy. Let's work on these four principles so that we can strengthen our core, so that we can handle what life's going to throw at us and not begin to slump back over. And that's the process, though, that some of us go through. We do good, and all of a sudden we go, and we're back. But God wants to get in there and get that thing strengthened so you can stand up. I'll tell you, there's no better feeling than you feeling better physically. How many would you agree with that? Man, I just feel good. I woke up the other day, I was doing something. I woke up and I'm like, man, I feel good today. And you know what that did? It caused me to look at myself differently emotionally. And as a result, look at my life differently and see things differently. I'm like, I can't believe, where was this? And you know what? It was just because it was just a minor adjustment. We don't know sometimes what it is. We don't know, but God knows. And for me, that day was, I woke up, I felt good. And as a result, it was a trickle down effect in my life. And I said, this is good. And I felt good emotionally, and my decisions were better. I had soundness of mind just because of that one thing. Do you know that that's what God is trying to get to you in your life? And listen, we're searching. People are searching, what does that look like for me? God knows what it looks like for you. And you'll know when it's there. Just like I did. I woke up like, man, it's good. It was just something small. And that's how God does it in your life. God will give you some things in your life, small things, small adjustments that'll cause you to see things differently and say, possibility. When was the last time you said to yourself, man, God does want me to prosper. God does want me to be in health. And you had a confidence about it. That's what God wants you to walk in. And so today we're supposed to be talking about leading on your marriage or singleness. We'll get there in a minute. But this is important. Because if we don't get this right eternally, internally, externally, is never going to be right. It's never going to be right. And so talking about leading on your marital signals, here's the concept about this, is that in ministry, ministry is not first. Most of you in here are leading in ministry in some capacity. You've come from other churches, and you've heard this concept. Well, listen, it's God or nothing. It's the church or nothing. Wrong. Ministry is not first. Your relationship with God is first, number one, and we're going to address marrieds and singles in here, okay? And if you're married, your ministry is your husband or your wife, okay? After that, everything else is supposed to flow out of that. Some of you may not like this today. It's okay. I love you, okay? All right, there have been there have been people who have fallen from places of ministry because they have gotten this the other way. God never called you to leave your family in order to serve him. God said, listen, if I've called you and I brought someone into your life, it is because you have found favor with me. And he who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor from the Lord. I thank God for my wife. I have found favor with the Lord. And so when I lead, my priority is to lead out of my relationship with her. Are we perfect in this? Absolutely not, because it's a journey. But first and foremost, it has to be this way. If it goes this way, then all of a sudden I can lead this way in better perspective because I'll be emotionally in a better place to lead. So that if God calls me to do something else and says, listen, I want you to go to do this, I can do that because of the fact that my relationship with her is first and foremost priority. My ministry is not. Aren't you glad that I can lay this down at any moment? Let me tell you why. That is a place you need to get to be able to lay something down in any moment. And God says, listen, I still love you. Because first and foremost, it's me, and then it's we. Out of the we becomes these. It's not the other way. And so In your relationship right now, take inventory of how your marriage is right now. We're not going to go into details today. There's some thoughts. And the way this series is shaping up, there's just some points for you to kind of look at in here. How healthy is the state of your marriage right now? And some of you are dating, and that's kind of in another category right now. But first and foremost, and I know there are circumstances, but listen, I'm talking about how healthy is your marriage right now. Because leading out of that is important. I love my wife and she loves me, but also I know that at the same time that she has needs and I have needs, correct? And so God wants those needs met. But we know that the only person who is able to meet all of our needs is who he is. And so if you're trying to fix said husband and said wife, you are looking in the wrong direction. You need to ask and seek the Lord for that direction. Amen. Okay, so we're not going to hit on a lot of this today because we're going in another direction, but now leading out your signal, let's talk about this for a minute. If you're single in here, you're not less. Okay, all right. God has given you the grace right now to live single. It's called a charism. Put it up there, guys, what the definition is, please. It's a divine enablement. God has given you the grace. Do you know I was once single? I know it's hard to believe, okay? Okay, I was once single, but God gave me the grace during that time to be single until God brought Misty into my life, correct? It's just a time, all right? Sometimes, and I'm not prophesying over this to some of you who are single, that God calls people to be single for life. And listen, you can wrestle with that about, and God, not me, okay? Sometimes God does, and that's just the grace that God gives people. Other times God says, listen, I've called you to be married. And if you're single in here and you're waiting for a spouse, stop waiting. Start living your life. They're not coming. Keep that in your mind. I'm living my life like they're not coming. Okay? They're not, because you know what? If it does happen, it will happen when you least expect it. And so God wants you to live your life and live it to the fullest and have a full life, get your own house, get your own job, find your own friends, and so live your life so that when God does bring someone in your life, then you can have a fulfilled life, but you don't look to them, and as we talked about before, and start acting in codependency. Like, listen, you've already established yourself. And so when that person is brought into your life, you have a mutual respect for one another, and then God is able to bring good things out of that. Listen to this stuff now so that you don't do it backwards. Because how many people do you know who get married and they get married for the wrong reasons or motives and it doesn't work because they're looking for someone else to fill in what only number one God can fill in? And listen, if you're not happy with yourself, no one else is going to make you happy. They can affirm you and they can compliment you, but you want to be with someone who is actually fulfilled and satisfied with themselves and who's able to push you along in your relationship with Christ, and that they don't have to be someone who you're dragging along the whole way in order to do this. That just doesn't work that way, guys. Let this be healthy. That's what we're talking about. Be healthy. I want to live with you, but I can live without you. I do. You get to that point, God says, I think they might be ready. What do you think, Michael? I don't know, Lord. You know everything. I don't know. Okay. Okay. So in your life, what does that look like for you? And so getting in a position, be ready. And a couple things, just a couple practical things in your life. Number one, for marrieds and singles, take care of yourself. Please. You're not doing anybody else a favor by letting yourself go. See, we think sometimes that, well, if it's just me. In reality, no, it's not you, okay? Really, what we're looking for the saved version of you, okay? We're looking for the version of you who actually loves themselves to take care of themselves. We talk about our daughter all the time. Mia, listen, practice hygiene now, okay? It's important now. Okay, key things now that she's going to need so later on in life that she's able to put herself in a better position to succeed. Because whether you realize it or not, we do live in a world and there are standards. Yes, we operate, we're God's kids, but God also gives us wisdom. Okay, take care of yourself. It puts you in a better position to get what you want in your life. Can I get an amen with that? All right, and so listen, if you do what you do, God will do what he does. All right, and so live like you're God's kid. And so find something in your life that you love to do and do it. Connect with it. Do it. Don't wait. Because that's going to find fulfillment. You're going to find fulfillment in that, and that's going to be the thing that's going to bring you joy, and it's going to cause you not to look in other places you don't need to be looking. And so what has God called you to do now in your life as a single? Second thing is this, invest in community. If you're single, invest in community. That's why we do this. That's why our community groups are happening. That's why there's community out there, because God wants you to be around a bunch of people and do life together. Movements start in communities. And so people do life in communities, and that's where you can find fulfillment and joy, peace and purpose in those things. If you're married, invest in community. first and foremost here, and then with other couples and other people. Because that's where joy, peace, and purpose is found. We had dinner the other night with some friends. It was great just to sit around and laugh and just have a great time. Investing in community, because that's part of our DNA and how God has wired us to live. And so wherever it is for you, do that. So your marriage is the loudest gospel message. Loudest. So you preach Jesus by the way you treat your spouse. You preach Jesus by the way you live your life with your spouse. It is a picture of how fiery and how wild God's heart is for you. Because the passion that you have for one another is a direct reflection of how God's passion and heart is for you. That's it. Your singleness is your loudest gospel message. It is a direct reflection that you are saying to yourself right now that God has allowed me at this point in my life to be single and to find my fulfillment in Him, and I am just ecstatic about that. Because it just gives me an opportunity to fly, spread my wings, do what I want to do in reason, and have a good time and find out more about who I am. And that is the loudest, and I'm okay with that. And listen, and secret, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. Some people who are married wish they weren't anymore. Man, I miss the days when I could, and some people who are single, man, I wish I could be married. So you've got people on ends of the spectrum, man. Some want to be married. Some want to get out of their marriage. Either way, God has placed you in your life right now. So guess what? Number one, she is here for a reason. I'm here for a reason. We're going to make it work. And I love her. It is my charism, my divine enablement to be married to her. If you were single, same thing. Live like you're single to the fullest with Jesus at the center. And then having other people around you who can help you do life. That's how it works. That's being healthy. That's being healthy. God hasn't called you to do it any other way in your life. And so if you want that freedom to do what God has called you to do, you've got to be in the season that God has called you to be in and actually doing the thing that God has asked you to do. Do it. Press down, shaken together, and running over. Guess what? The more I give to God, the more He gives back to me. Guess what? The more I give myself to my wife, guess what happens? The more she gives back to me. It's the same way. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The more effort I give at my job, guess what? The more God sees and the more opportunity that I have for growth and promotion. The more effort I give wherever I am, the better results I will see. If you don't want to give the effort, don't expect the results. We were at the gym yesterday, and we were doing it was called a team workout, team WOD, and I was with some guys, and it was one of the tougher ones, and I said, man, just jump up, man, I'll do it. And what he said was, no, I want to put in my time. I want to make a contribution here. That's the kind of guy I want to be around. Who's not looking to back up every time it gets hard, but he can do what he can do. Come on, Sharon, fist bumping right now. So what is God asking you to do right now? I'm single. Great. Enjoy it. Because until you enjoy it, He's not bringing anybody else in. There was a period about 4 years. I was younger, and I was just focused on God. That's it. In a period of about 4 years, Melissa probably remember this, I went to about 13 weddings. I was like 20, 25. Everybody's getting married. It was the year of the wedding. People were getting married. Hey, I'm getting married. Great. Awesome. So I would go to the wedding. I was single, man. It's not like people didn't want to date. I just felt like, no, I'm not. I'm waiting on what God wants for me. I'm not going through the cycle. I've done it. Who does God want? And all of a sudden, at the right time, God came in and I was introduced to Misty through Melissa. Just happened. She actually met Melissa first before she met me. And little secret, she thought me and Melissa were married because on Melissa's Bible, it said Melissa Sarlo. So she's like, great. So hindsight, we look back, and but God brought her at the right time. But there was a grace for that season. And so for you, whatever that looks like, listen, do it now. Because until God knows and sees that you're ready, it's not coming. It's not coming. God wants to bless you, loves you, has a great plan for your life. Great plan, man. I'm telling you. He's excited about you. You. And that's one thing that if you're married, I just want to reiterate today. That he is excited about you as an individual in your marriage. Yes, he likes you and your wife, but he's also has a relationship with you still. And so don't think that he's forgotten you in that. And so what God has promised you, it will happen in your life. That's just who he is. And he's so good and he's so masterful that he can do it even while you're married. He can bring you into what he wants for you and at the same time bring your spouse into what he wants for her. And all along, you guys walk together in it. She's doing her thing. I'm doing my thing. But we're still walking together, supporting one another, saying, you got it, girl. Go do it. I love it. Just accept it. Go do it. And at the same time, secure enough to say, whatever it looks like, God, do it. Take the wheel, user, and vice versa. I don't have to control her to make her love me, because that's not love. I can let her do her thing, and then God can bring her back around, and in his grace, we can have a healthy relationship, because as we let one another develop, God causes both of us to develop. And so that we can speak the truth and love to one another and still be okay. I love you. I love you. But I can still live with you. It's healthy. It's healthy. Maria, is it healthy? Thank you. Counselor. Okay? Yeah. It's health. You have to be that way. Because for your development and what God has for you, there are certain things that, and we can go all day. We should just go for another, no, we won't. But, well, I'm kidding. Because for your development, you're going to have to let God do the work that he needs to do in your spouse. You can't force it. You can speak truth in it. And God could help, but God's got to do the work and vice versa. And as he does that, what happens is then you see just how good he is in the midst of it and that he actually can do the work without you. You try and do all this work. God said, listen, you're just going to get exhausted. I've called you, number one, to love me. And just love her or love him where they're at. And then God begins to do the work and God begins to speak. And the beautiful thing about it is that conversations will come up like this. You know what? I was thinking this. And then, you know what? I was thinking that same thing. What? And you begin to see that the thread had started and that God was already working. And as he, oh man, I'm getting excited about this. And as God did it here, he confirms it in her. He confirms it in him at different times. And then the relationship grows because there's a trust that is developed that says, man, thank you, God, for your goodness that you love me enough to allow me to work out my salvation with you at the same time deal with her and vice versa deal with me. Just how good he is. It's health. Let's all stand to our feet. So single-mindedness, not just being single, it's single-mindedness in my purpose. It's God first. It has to be, always. And then it's the grace that I've been given to live what God has called me to live now, whether with someone or without someone. But either way, God is still good and blesses both. Because I don't want to be somewhere I'm not supposed to be. So if I'm trying to force myself into something, it's not going to work. Because God will say, you know what? It's not for you. It's not your time. Let's all lift our hands in here if we could. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace that you give us to live either married or single. But either way, single-mindedness in our purpose. God, we're after you. We love you. But I thank you that we can have the grace that we need to live in union with our spouses. We can have the grace that we need to live in communion if we're single with our community. And that we can have the grace that we need to live in communion with one another. Because we know that you're glorified in that. God, we thank you that you set the lonely in families. That you place people where they need to be. And God, that today that you're doing a work in their heart and their life. A work that no man can reverse. And God, I pray that people would embrace the work that you're doing. God, that they would be excited about your passion for them, that they would know that they're loved and they're accepted. God, I pray there would just be such an awareness of just how excited and vibrant your love is for them. God, that it would cause them to break free from shackles. It would cause them to break free from pain, from codependency, from wanting to be with someone. God, it would break them free from being shackled by their past, from walking in their shadow, that there would be such an awareness and confidence of just how beautiful and loved that they are. God, that it would radiate to those that are around them, and that people would want to know what is it about them, and that they would say, it's because I am loved and accepted by a Heavenly Father who has created me and who is my beloved and who knows my very name and who has knit me together and who is intimately acquainted with who I am and wants me to succeed and to flourish. And God, I don't have to look to the right or to the left or to a man or to a woman to fulfill it, but I can look to him. And I'm telling you that it's the best thing that has ever happened to be loved by someone who doesn't see flaws or faults, but sees perfection because of what his son did, and that there's nothing I could ever do that could ever separate me from his love, and that there's no place I could ever go that could ever separate me from his love, that he'll constantly keep coming after me and draw me back in because he loves me with an undying love, a fiery love. And I pray, God, that there would be an excitement, God, such a fiery love for you that people would experience, God, that it would set the world on fire, God, because of who Jesus is in their life. God, set people on fire like they have not known before. Let them see the reality and the truth of who you are. And God, that truth would supersede lie, and it would supersede compromise, and it would supersede falsehood, and it would supersede anything that the enemy would try to do to bring them into a place of bondage. I thank you, God, that today the shadow will no longer have a hold on people's life, that every time it tries to rear its ugly head, that people would place it back where it needs to go, and that they would walk in freedom and a confidence to know that who they are and who they are loved by. And God, that whatever it is that is causing inferiority or insecurity, God, I pray that you would swallow it up, God, in your love, and that people would accept you for who you are, a God who loves them no matter the condition or the state of their life. And God, that people can live full lives, excited lives, to know that you are a God of adventure, that you are a God who is wild with love. God, bring people, God, to that place where there's such a zeal and a passion for you, and God, a heart to see not only a dying world know who Jesus is, but God, for people to live the life that you called them to live, not worried about or concerned about, God, what might be, but would be concerned about what you want for them. And God, that there would be just a love and a hunger to see the things of God, God, just be poured out, God, on the world today. Bring people into a new awareness, God, a new place of just creativity in their relationship with you, just of love with you. And God, that you would give people ideas and things and thoughts. And God, that their relationship with you would grow to such a deep level that the enemy would no longer have an occasion to get in and bring in doubt or fear. But God, we would be so loved and so known that the very things that you've called us to do, the very things that you've called us to accomplish, we will do because we know who it is who loves us and who it is who's sending us. In Jesus' name, amen.